This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight we have a great show. We're going to talk about infections. Isn't that great? Well, sometimes, you know, they happen. We have flu infections and sexual transmitted infections. We have a whole list of infections. And you all know about the flu, I'm sure. And it is, they have type A and type B. A common symptom of A can be confused with other conditions. While in some milder cases, the flu can resolve on its own without significant symptoms. Severe cases of type A can be life-threatening. So what we need to do is to pay close attention so that we will know what's going on within our bodies. Unlike a common cold, the flu typically occurs with a certain onset of symptoms. Common signs of the flu infection include coughing, runny or stuffy nose, sneezing, sore throat, fever, headache, fatigue, chills, and body aches. So sometimes these things can resolve on their own. However, if they persist for more than a week without improvement, maybe you should go to your doctor and see what's going on, because the flu can be deadly. If, now we're saying if, I'm not thinking that you're going to just sit up if you have a cold or a fever or something and not be able to go to the doctor or whatever after a time. But going on and on without a doctor's care, it can cause an ear infection. Diarrhea, nausea, you can be nauseous, okay. Vomiting, dizziness, abdominal pain, chest pain, asthma attack, pneumonia, bronchitis, and cardiac issues. So we really want to get those symptoms checked out. My guest tonight is a physician's assistant, I think, but I'm going to have her on now, and she can tell you who she is.
Hi,
Mrs.
Jenny.
Mrs. Coleman, are
yes.
you there?
I am here.
Okay. Are you a physician's assistant?
I am not. I'm a family nurse practitioner. Really
okay. I
small differences, but I mean, nurse practitioner. But we're all providers of care.
You're also what? I'm sorry.
I said we are all providers of care. So nurse
okay.
practitioners, physician assistants, we all pretty much do the same thing.
I knew that.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, right now, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and some of your background into becoming who you are?
Yeah. My name is Tara, and I am a family nurse practitioner. I have over 20 years of nursing experience with the last 9 years I spent as a family nurse practitioner, as I am now. Most of my background in nursing is really intensive care, ER, a lot of community work, like home health, things like that, but mostly ICU, intensive care.
So you do, you
as
go
a,
to people's homes?
Yeah, now as a family nurse practitioner, I'm mainly focused in like a urgent care setting. That's how I see my patients in the urgent care setting. And I do visit some patients in the home as well.
So when you say urgent care, it reminds me of like an emergency situation, a doctor's hospital or something. Are you in a hospital?
Yeah, urgent care is a fairly new concept. I'm so grateful it's here. Once upon a time, we only had a doctor's office or the ER, correct? We get sick, those
right.
are our only options. Now there are urgent care centers, which is not as emergent, life-threatening as an emergency, like for emergency rooms, but those urgent cases where you can't quite get to your doctor and you need to see someone. So there I am, like in the middle.
So you were located in a what? A CVS?
I'm working, the urgent care I'm working is inside CVS, yes.
So then if someone had a really bad cold, they can just come in and see you without an appointment or anything. Is that right?
Yes. All urgent care settings are, it's not just the clinic I work in. Urgent cares are pretty much everywhere. But the way they operate is on a walk-in basis. No appointments is necessary. No appointments are necessary. And we evaluate you. We treat you if prescriptions are needed, we write prescriptions, recommend follow-up, things like that.
So you said you're pretty much everywhere. Does that mean in every CVS there's a nurse practitioner?
No. What I said was there's urgent care is pretty much everywhere. So the urgent care is not necessarily
okay.
just inside of a Walgreens or a CVS or a Walmart or Target. There are some there, but there are also some standalone clinics in your community. You can always just Google urgent cares, and you'll be able to find urgent care near you. They're pretty much in all 50 states.
So you give shots as well, right?
We give vaccinations. We treat... educate, we diagnose some common ailments. A lot of times I'm treated as like a triage. People come because they're not quite sure if they should go to ER or not, and they will come into me and I will help them make their decision for them. Some people who are out of their medications for their diabetes, for their blood pressure, I can I can prescribe those medications for them. Some of the chronic health disorders I can help diagnose, thyroid disorders, again, diagnosing diabetes, hypertension, diagnosing and starting the treatment and getting them in touch with a local provider.
You sound as if you're almost like a private physician.
Yeah, I am a family nurse practitioner, and I can pretty much do, I can do quite a bit. I'm not in primary care, though, which is a difference. That's not the avenue that I'm employing. Mine is more of a urgent care setting, but because doctor's offices are pretty full and they can't get their appointments 2 months from now, and people need their medication
right.
now because they're out of them.
Sure.
I'm that place that they could go. So they do have a place they can go.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Some of your patients come back to you maybe on a regular basis, or you just send them to a primary care doctor?
Oh, no. They come back to me. They come back to me. I treat.
So you have a regular practice.
That's not necessarily where we want to be, but because in the state of medicine we're in now, a lot of family practice doctors, there's a shortage of family practice doctors, and the appointments are few and far between. And yeah, so we're just kind
of
trying to fill in that gap.
It.
Yeah, we're trying to fill in that gap while and then moving on, then helping them move on to a family nurse. I'm sorry, to a family provider.
So do you make return appointments for your patients?
I do. Oh. I just had patients recently. I just recently diagnosed with high blood pressure. So I get their lab work, and we make a plan together on how they're going to do some lifestyle changes. We make an appointment, follow appointment about a month just to make sure that the blood pressure hasn't increased, and if it does, I can start medications and then have them come back to make sure how they're responding to the medication.
That sounds like a physician to me. So an assistant, you're doing an awful lot for an assistant, and we're just kind of glad you guys are, you know, there.
Yeah. There's definitely a need in the community, and we are meeting that need. We're trying to meet that need, yeah.
Okay. So now, I was saying something about flu, and there's a type A. I'm thinking there's a B and a C as well. So are you familiar? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you are. With those? Yeah. Sorry about that.
So we are now, that's okay. We are now what we call peak season of the flu. That's where we see the most cases. Now January and February are the highest peak level we'll see the most. The important thing, like for my patients, I want them to be completely educated about the flu because it's such a negative experiences with the flu vaccine people have had, or they've known somebody who has a bad experience with the flu vaccine, so they're not as willing to vaccinate themselves.
Right.
Yeah, so one of the things I do is just explain to people how the flu virus works in our body, and then what the flu vaccine does. Now, I do want to let everyone know I'm not necessarily pushing for the flu vaccine. I am pushing for you to understand how these things work. And then you can make an informed decision on whether or not it's something you should do for your life, for your health.
Okay.
So the flu virus, right? You know, flu virus is just this really small, microscopic organism. And inside this little small ball of virus, this is a lot of information that the virus used to make more virus. But the virus is, what's impressive about the flu virus is that it has this hard shell, right? On these hard shells, you got these little spikes. This is important, knowing these spikes is what helps this virus get into our cells. So these little spikes are like a key to get inside a cell. So they attach to the cell, get inside the cell, wreck all kind of havoc, spreading the virus. And once it's in the cell, it's now able to move on throughout the cells in our body. Now, you mentioned about the flu symptoms, and it's very important, I want people to understand, about the flu symptoms versus the cold symptoms. Flu symptoms just happen abruptly. You can get off the phone with me now, Jenny, and all of a sudden get these high fevers and extreme body aches, headaches, sore throat, so fatigued you can't get out of bed. It happens just like that in a snap of a finger. Whereas the cold symptoms, you can take a few Tylenol, go to work, and just kind of rough it out, you know?
Okay.
The flu virus, the incubation period is like 1 to 4 days. And the incubation period is just that period between when you're exposed and when you actually show up with symptoms.
Okay, so how long can it stay in the air?
Now, that's questionable. And it can shoot about 6 feet as far as when people cough and all that, about 6 feet distance. But how long it stays in the air is kind of questionable. There's multiple different theories about how long. So it's not like a definitive thing. What it can do when it sits on the surfaces, it can stay on the surfaces for about 24 hours.
Okay, so if you had a patient that had the flu and they left and another patient came in immediately after, does that person have a good chance of contacting that?
Possibly, just like in the elevator or in the doctor's office or at the ER when everybody with the flu. So we asked that if you are having symptoms to wear a mask because, yes, breathing, you and I'm talking to you, breathing, exhaling can produce a virus shedding, you know. So up to 6 feet away.
That's what you call it, a virus shedding?
Viral shedding, yeah.
Viral shedding, okay.
So, but the dangerous thing about the flu also is that you can actually pass it like a day before you even get symptoms. Like right now, you could be incubating the flu. And you don't have symptoms yet. But when the symptoms do come on, they come on pretty darn hard. But you could pass the flu before starting symptoms, yeah.
Okay, now the flu is, well, I know I said coughing and had a lot of other.
Fever, headache.
Fever.
Fatigue, yeah.
Vomiting, dizziness. And you said it can just lie dormant and maybe tomorrow you'll get it. But do you get it just from going outside in the cold?
No, that's a very good question and a common misconception. The virus is actually an organism. Okay, so it's more like if the flu bug was actually in your vicinity and you inhale it, like the droplet from someone who was there in the room, or you touched, I don't know, the doorknob of someone who had the flu and they blew in their hand and they touched the doorknob. And you touched it and went and ate your dinner. So, you know, not just by going into the cold, it's more exposure of the actual virus.
So you get it through contact.
You get it through droplets in the air. And
droplets
contact
in the
is
air.
More, yeah, yes, droplets in the air. And contact is more, because I told you it stays on surfaces, like doorknobs and keyboards and the mouse we play with on the computer. It stays on the surface for about 24 hours. Now, what happens after it leaves the surface and gets on our hands, we rub our eyes, we touch our nose, we eat our dinner. That's how we let it in. By that way, or breathing it in from the droplets in the air.
So then when I go outside, then I should not, and meet someone, I should not be shaking their hands, right?
If you do. Girl, you could be hospitable. Go shake those people's hands. But just go watch them when you're done. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it that simple, though? I mean, just with the washing of your hands, that can...
You know what's yeah.
Go ahead.
You know what's interesting about the flu? Now, the flu virus, influenza virus, like you said, type A, type B, type C. What's interesting about it is it's pretty wimpy outside of our body.
It's what?
Outside our body, pretty wimpy. Like, it's not very strong.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like a wimpy virus outside of our body. So when it's on the surfaces, all we do, we just have to clean them. We just have to clean the surfaces and the doorknobs, the light switches, the things that are commonly touched, our phone.
Right.
We just clean the surfaces, and, and washing our hands is just that simple. Once it get in our body.
So I shouldn't open a door and then stick my hand in my bag of potato chips. That's
probably
a problem,
not a good
right?
idea. Yeah, probably not a good idea.
Well, let me ask you
this.
What do you think about all these anti-soap things everybody's carrying around in their purses?
Yeah,
so
what still works against a lot of common illnesses, a lot of common viruses and things that's on surfaces is alcohol-based solutions.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you can't find soap and water, by all means, put some alcohol on your hands. The other thing that kills a lot of these bugs are chlorine, bleach, soap and water. The thing about soap and water, too, I also want to express to your listeners, is the friction. When you're washing your hands, actually put friction. That's what's going to help
right.
you loosen. So it's not just about soap and water, it's also about the friction and the water. The
so make
water,
sure you rub your hands.
Yep, rubbing your hands and doing your whole happy birthday song with your
right.
soap and water. Yeah, drying your hands. Yes, it's just that simple. Again, it's pretty wimpy when it's outside our body. That's why we want to try to get rid of it so it won't enter our body.
That's really interesting. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to come
okay.
back because this is really interesting.
Okay. Let's do it.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know, if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
Lions Clubs International is a service or membership organization of over 1.7 million members worldwide. It was founded in 1916 in Illinois. Much of the focus of the Lions Club's work as a service club organization is to raise money for worthy causes as first responders. The Lions Club motto is "We Serve." Local Lions Club programs include sight conservation, hearing and speech conservation, diabetes awareness, youth outreach, international relations, environmental issues, and many other programs. The Lions acronym also stands for Liberty, Intelligence, Our Nation's Safety. For more information, contact us at LionsClubs.org.
We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Jacqueline Jones Frederick of Jones and Frederick Enterprises, Inc. This incorporation consists of a tutoring business, a tutoring staffing, and a traveling business. We have serviced the community since 2007. Our clients are third graders to college students. We tutor in all academic subjects. Please call Jacqueline at 586-306-5487.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Hey, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And tonight we're talking about infections, and basically we're talking about the influenza or flu virus and some of the things that you can do to not be infected, such as washing your hands and the friction with your hands in forms of rubbing it, which is really good. And I might ask my guest, is it better with hot or cold water, or does it matter?
Well, you know, with the flu virus,
yes.
flu viruses are actually killed at temperatures above 160 degrees, so there's no way we can get that hot.
I know, not in live.
Right, and not in live. but they can also be killed at temperatures lower than 40 degrees.
Oh,
so
okay.
I guess that's something to think about. Yeah, something that's just
yes.
with the flu virus, though. Yeah, but there are also other viruses like the norovirus and other things that's going on in the world right now that does need higher temperatures. So friction and the actual detergent that would kill the bug,
and singing "Happy Birthday,"
singing your "Happy Birthday" song.
Okay, well, we have someone who wants to ask a question or making a comment. Okay, Ms. Terry from Texas, you're on with Mrs. Coleman, and she's talking about the flu. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, hello, Mrs. Coleman. How are you?
Hi, Terry. Doing very well. How are you in Texas?
I'm doing great. Yes. Oh, we're doing. We've got a heat wave down here, so it's about 65 degrees.
Don't want to hear that.
Moving on. Next question.
I know that. Right. We're talking about the flu virus here.
Well, hello, Jenny White. How are you? Listen,
I'm
I
good.
Wanted to
How
make
you
a
doing?
Comment. Great. My mother, growing up, she would always get on us about coming in from outside and touching the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I've kind of continued with my children. You know, you come in from outside, wash your hands. Don't start touching stuff. And it's just, it's really simple. Like you said, just soap and water and friction. It can solve a lot of problems.
And so, you know, Terry, you have a smart mother.
Oh, yes. She's quite the brilliant lady. She really is. She's got a birthday coming up, too.
Oh, she does.
So,
well, tell her I said happy birthday. She's got very, very
happy birthday.
Smart kids.
Well,
I thank
I am
you.
So
for
excited.
Go ahead.
Oh,
you're excited.
You are so welcome, Jeannie White. No, I'm just excited about the nurse practitioner. I think that it's a noble career anytime you put someone over yourself. And I know that you're not thinking that you're putting yourself in harm's way, but you kind of are when people show up and you don't know what's going on, what they've encountered, you know, what they're bringing with them, like you said, touching objects, fomites, those type of things. So I just thank you for what you do and being selfless and helping other people.
That is so amazing. Thank you for saying that.
Yes, thank you.
I think we all put ourselves in harm's way when we leave the home. So when we leave our little bubble. So yeah, doing those things like you said, like keeping our hands clean when we first enter the home, leave the outside, and teaching our children those simple practices that would keep from spreading disease. I love it. Thank you for the ad, Pat Terry.
Okay, and one last thing. I know that Jenny White had started talking about the hand sanitizer, and you said it was a good idea, the alcohol-based. But is there a problem going forward if we kill all of the bugs all of the time? I mean, will we be killing some of the good?
Not only that, we can't build up any hindrances against it. You know what I'm saying? Just like when they give you a shot, they give you what they're shooting you, you know, keeping you away from, so your body can build up those defenses.
All right. So alcohol is better than zero. Okay. And that's how I feel about even vaccines and all the other things. We are sharing the world. We're sharing the world with bacteria. We're sharing the world with viruses. And there is significant theories out there about exposures, because we haven't been exposed. Our immune system is not as strong. Well, because we haven't been exposed, our immune system is not as strong. You know, I think you're referring to that theory.
Right.
Yeah. So the problem is these diseases, these viruses, these bacteria, they are really wreaking havoc right now. And a lot of things, we don't have much to protect against them anymore because of all the resistance that's out in the world.
Uh-huh.
So where I am, honestly, is about keeping yourself safe. So people like me or the firefighters and everybody who has those toxic exposure, by all means, you need to wash your hands. But you need to have some kind of way to stop the transmission. I'm hoping I'm asking your question. We can't get rid of it. Okay, we can't. There's so many different viruses and bacteria out here. We can't just stop washing our hands, stop using alcohol-based things, because we have to find a way to stop the transmission. A lot of people are very medically fragile, and they can't afford to get sick. You know that. So as of right now, until it's like an absolute, it does not work anymore. Right now, they're finding that it does work in killing most of these germs. So now that it works, we need to continue using it. But taking a bath in it and eating it and drinking it, maybe not so much. But people who have exposure and risk of transmission, I would say use it.
Okay.
Go ahead. What were we going to say, Jenny?
Okay, I was going to ask because, you know, I've heard people say for years that the weather helps us when it gets cold, because it kills the germs that are in the air.
Yes.
So, okay, so that's a good thing that we had a polar vortex and we were mighty 50 degrees.
Yes, but you know what the bad thing is? We're all holed up in the house together with these viruses and things already. So after it gets cold like that, what usually happens is our clinics are full of everyone with influenza A.
Really?
With influenza, yes, absolutely. Because we're all in the house with each other with the whole, everything. But you're right. If we just open our house, it's up to a couple of hours of, negative 17 degrees.
So you want me to open my house up when it's 15 below?
I am not suggesting that. What I'm saying is, if you really want to kill everything, that's probably the way to go.
Including me.
But you might want to leave the house while you're doing that.
Right. Are you good, Terry?
I am. Thank you so much. I appreciate you both.
Thank you.
All right, you have another caller who has to ask a question or make a comment. Yes, caller, you're on with Mrs. Coleman.
Hello, Jenny White and Mrs.
How
Coleman.
You doing?
Hi.
Very good. How are you? Yes, this is Richard, and I wanted to make a comment. seems like everyone I know that gets the flu vaccination every year ends up getting sick behind it. Well, sometimes,
very good question.
You know, so what do you think about that? Is it just my imagination, or does a lot of people that get the vaccinations end up coming down with, and it may not be the flu, but a cold or something?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. I get that every single day in the clinic, every single day. And I'm not there to persuade. I'm not going to try to persuade you, but I am going to give you just the information. So with the flu vaccine does not cause the flu. It just does not. Richard, have you ever been vaccinated before, like against tetanus or polio?
Yes, I've had that.
Okay. So having it's the same kind of theory. Tetanus shot. You received a tetanus vaccine. Did you get tetanus?
Nope.
You didn't. It's virtually impossible to get that disease because the virus that they're actually giving you is inactivated, meaning it's dead. But it's just enough to wake up our immune system, and for the immune system to develop these antibodies so it can remember what this virus looks like, so it can prevent it from causing disease if you were ever exposed to it. So you're not going to get the disease from getting a vaccine. But what you do get are some side effects. Every single thing has a side effect. Every vaccine, every Tylenol, every Tums you take, everything has a potential for a side effect. And some of the side effects for the flu vaccine are, minor ones are like the soreness in the arm. We already know that. You may also have some mild symptoms, and that's the body trying to figure out what this is. You may have mild symptoms of mild aches, a mild temp, and generally when you have those symptoms, it lasts about a day, and it goes away. Now, what could be happening, I told you that once we get this deadly virus in our muscle, it goes through our body, it takes about 2 weeks for the body to recognize this and develop the defenses called antibodies to keep it from causing disease. It takes about 2 weeks. Now, in that time, you absolutely can contract I told you we're sharing the world, so you can absolutely contract those viruses and bacteria and other things that are floating around at times. So it's not that, that's another school of thought, that you're actually picking up another, you're picking up the flu or the virus or something else that's floating around.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Now, I know last year they said that the batch of flu vaccine that they had wasn't effective against the strain of flu that was out.
Right.
Yeah, so they
Okay, and this year, the CDC does track this and they give they call it your weekly reports. So if you go to CDC.com, whatever, and put in flu surveillance, and it'll tell you what's going on in the world in different regions of the United States too, where the flu was happening. As of right now, the viruses that are floating around, the H1N1 and H3N2, they are in the vaccine for this year. Now, as time progresses, we'll get to know actually those effectiveness data. They'll explore those a little bit more as time goes on, especially now that we're entering the peak season. But as of right now, the H1N1 and H3N2 and influenza A strands, they are in the vaccine for this year.
Okay, so there is egg associated with the vaccines as well.
I think a lot of good questions today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So if you are allergic to eggs, or you can definitely be allergic to the vaccine because of the byproduct in it.
Now, the good news, the great news this year, one of the contraindications for the flu vaccine once upon a time were if you're allergic to eggs, do not get the vaccine. Do not get the vaccine because those great chemical scientists, chemists, people who produce this vaccine, is actually the vaccine is actually incubated inside of eggs. But now is two things. One, they have a vaccine that was not incubated in the egg, that's one. So you do have an option of going eggless, no egg proteins at all. And the second thing is now they're saying that the amount of exposure to actually egg is so minute that people are not having reactions. And I can say that with my little anecdotal evidence from being in the clinic. I've had several people with egg allergies I've given flu shots to and no reactions. That's no longer a contraindication. Go ahead. Sorry.
Now, did you know they had egg
yes.
allergies prior to? Okay. You knew
yes.
the vaccine that you were giving them wasn't incubated in an egg.
No, I've done it twice. I've done two different ways. One, I've given the one that was not in the egg. And the other ones
okay.
I have given to people with that the one that was incubated in the egg, and there was zero reactions.
Oh, okay.
Now let me explain one other thing. I don't live life on the edge. Okay, I'm quite careful. I'm quite careful. So people, I have not given those who have egg allergy who have anaphylaxis reactions. I have not treated those with that vaccine. But
okay.
according to the CDC and the World Health Organization, egg allergy is no longer a contraindication for getting the flu vaccine.
Now, what type of things, which for someone who, because in the health and like in hospitals, you know, they require their employees to and vendors to have the influenza shot. So for...
Yeah.
What people would have an excuse not to get it if the egg is no longer a viable reason?
A reason not to get it. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for a way out. Okay, so one way out is the,
right. I'm just thinking my doctor's excuse might not work
right.
anymore.
Yes, you are. Oh, I love it. So. There is a neuromuscular disease called Guillain-Barré or Guillain-Barré syndrome. So if you've had that neuromuscular disease within 4 weeks of getting a vaccine, then we do not recommend getting a vaccine now.
Okay. And what is that again?
That's all you got. Right.
I need to Google it, right?
Yes, you do. Right. It's called Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Okay, very good. That's interesting. I learned something tonight.
But outside of that, though, but let me add one more thing about the flu vaccine. And the thing is, the people who I really want, who I really encourage and I spend a lot of time with are those who are chronic health diseases. Now, the average healthy adult, you get the flu, you're going to feel terrible for a week, 10 days, and then you move on with your life. The ones I'm concerned about are those who are asthma, children, less than 6 months of age, pregnant women, those who are over the age of 65, those who live in long-term care facilities, those with chronic health conditions, heart disease, asthma, diabetes. I would encourage them to get the flu vaccine. If they get the flu, their recovery may not be the same. They may have those complications. So let's just say you decided you didn't want to do the flu vaccine. Prevention is still great. Washing your hands, keeping your hands away from your face, covering your cough stand away from people who are ill, and all that. So doing those preventive things, that's how we're all trying to survive this flu season. And you still get the flu, I would urge you to follow up with your primary care provider just so they can get you some treatment. Those antivirals that's on the system out right now. So there are some complications that could result in ICU admissions or even death when it comes to the flu.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, very good. I love something tonight. Great show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, you're good, Richard?
I am. Thank you very much.
Okay. So that was really very interesting, this flu thing. Personally, I don't take the shot.
Yeah.
Do you take the shot?
Every year for the last 20 years.
Oh, okay.
And I've also have never had the flu. I've never experienced it personally. All my data is from my clinical experience. But I've never experienced, never had the flu. Get the flu shot every year without any complications.
That's
my
a good
children
thing.
Get the flu shot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know patients ask me that a lot. Do you get the flu shot? And do you give it to your children? You know, am I promoting something I don't even get? Which I understand that completely.
Right.
What I'm promoting is health. Yeah, what I'm promoting is health. So any way we can avoid getting the flu or passing it along, particularly passing it along to those vulnerable populations.
Well, my reason for not taking it is because just one thing, I don't trust the government, and they're giving you something for free. I don't want it. That's my thing. And up till now, I have not had a problem, and I shake people's hands every Sunday. And I'm not able at a lot of times to run and wash my hands. But now that I know how important it is, maybe I'll carry me an alcohol pad or something in my purse. Okay.
I had a pastor come in and mention he was a pastor, and he was very concerned about how many hands he shook. And if he should develop some kind of new protocol in his for his churchgoers and shaking hands and a flu season. Although there was like one population I didn't think about with that. I said it's still the same rule. The same rule. We shake our hands, we give our hugs, we show the love, and then we protect ourselves by washing our hands. Just like the same thing like Terry said. Her mom told her, you know, you enter a house, you wash your hands, get rid of all the germs. Same concept. Wash our hands.
Okay, but we could be like, and I forgot his name. He's the host of Deal or No Deal. He doesn't shake hands. He does a fist bump. So can we all go about and do the fist bump?
How about fist bump and using our elbows to turn off lights? How about that?
I don't know. And with that, we're going to take a commercial. But I want to, when I come back, I want to talk to you about this other infection that we haven't touched yet.
Okay.
So we're going to be back.
Okay.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
This is Terry from Texas, and I love listening to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, president and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight we've been talking about the flu infection, but there are more infections out there. We know that they are, and we're going to talk about one more. And one of those is the sexual transmitted infection. And it has symptoms of unusual discharge from the vagina, penis, or anus, pain when peeing, lumps on skin growths around the genitals or anus, a rash, unusual vaginal bleeding, itchy genitals or anus, blisters and sores around the genitals or anus. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have many patients that come in with these types of issues?
Hello?
Sorry. Yes.
Absolutely. Sexually transmitted infections are actually on the rise
again.
And the problems we have right now is that there are actually some are resistant, particularly gonorrhea is resistant to some of the antibiotics. So, yes, I see quite a few young people, actually, mostly young people, with sexually transmitted infections. A lot of my other, 15 to 24-year-olds, they say account for about half of the new STIs that are present now. So it is an active problem, and we absolutely need to talk about sex. We need to talk about the risk. We need to talk about prevention.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's what I want my listeners to hear. And before I say anything else, listeners, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, then all you have to do is press the 1 on your telephone, and you'll be streaming live with Mrs. Coleman, who is nurse practitioner.
Family nurse practitioner, yes.
Almost like a doctor. I don't know about that. But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You don't have, okay, you're in a CVS room. You're not an OBGYN, yes. So how do you go about finding out whether or not this person really has or has transmitted or been the receiver of a sexual infection?
Well, let me start with I see quite a bit of young adults with STIs, and it starts with a great, great history. It starts with being open and honest and non-judgmental as a provider.
Right.
So how do I find out? I ask the question. I'm not shy about it at all, because sexual health is an important part of health. It's an important
right.
part of health, and definitely should not be shy. Shouldn't be shy to talk about it, but most providers are not. So I do a lot of physicals, sports physicals and school physicals, and that's a perfect opportunity for me to kind of dig into the sexual health of young adolescents to young adults and everyone in between. There are people who actually come there because they have exposure. So you ask how. First is a great history. It's not being non-judgmental, being willing to listen. To educate. The second is testing. We do test for ST, sexually transmitted infections in the clinic. And
so let me ask
not,
you this. Do you
yeah.
do you have any help there, or it's just you alone?
It's just me. I work at Thomas. I work by myself.
So you take urine samples?
Yeah, that's how you diagnose sexually transmitted infections. One of the ways you diagnose sexually transmitted infections. I also give them a requisition because a lot of sexually transmitted infections are only seen in the blood as well. So they need to go to actual lab to get their blood work done. And the results
right.
come back to me, and I have them come back, and we discuss the results.
Okay. So everything is on the computer now. So
you mean my results, you mean?
Yes. I mean, okay, when I go to my doctor, they put things in the computer. They put results and, you know, test results and everything. So
yes.
when I go to another doctor, they have the same information because it's out there.
Yes,
and
it's
if
called
I said,
electronic medical record. Yeah, it's the electronic medical record where we share information with each other. And I get information
no, I think
from
that's
other
a good
people,
thing.
Doctors as well. That's a very good thing.
Yeah.
So good, you wouldn't even understand how much. So
no,
a lot of people
I probably
don't really know their history. They don't remember their history or don't know what medications they're taking, and then I'm prescribing something that could possibly have an interaction. So it really
not only
helps.
That, they might
it
not
really
want
helps.
To tell you something, and
yeah.
then you can look up their record and say, wait a minute, I see right here you had such and such and such, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good thing as well.
It is.
Yeah.
How
so,
I test for sexually transmitted infections. I educate. So a lot of time counseling on birth control and STI prevention, sexually transmitted infection prevention. And, yeah, again, treating and diagnosing. It is it is on the rise, and that's the sad part. And
yeah,
what,
that's what
what's
I read. It said
the increase. Yeah, what's causing the
it
increase?
It said it's
is,
running rampant.
Yeah, what's causing the increase of sexually transmitted infections is I would love to hear from your listeners there where they think it's causing the increase. But one of my thoughts is just all the hookup sites. Now we're so socially connected. People engage in those high risk behaviors and
you talk about
activities.
Like Tinder and
all that. There's so
all
many,
the other
yeah.
stuff. That stuff will get you
so
killed.
You're engaging in high risk activities. You can find other people who also engage in high risk activities. You know, you can find them quite easily. So it's maybe one reason why it's on the rise.
That's unfortunate.
It is. It really is. But
and
as far as go ahead.
As far as
prevention, I really want to spend some time on. because it
okay,
is
okay. You can
one
you can
those,
do prevention.
Yeah,
I know one prevention. I know
oh,
one.
Oh, tell me. Yes, tell me.
Don't have sex.
I love it. That is number one on my list.
Okay.
Number one on my list. Actually, number one on my list is actually is getting the facts. Talking to your doctor, your nurse practitioner, talking to your provider about and sexual behaviors and sexual health and how to prevent these sexually transmitted infections or just getting the facts. That's number one, getting the facts. What are these diseases? What do they look like? Yeah, and just speaking honestly, it's still young adults who are having sex who don't believe oral sex is sex. They're still out there.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but it is, and that's why we're non-judgmental. We come in with the information and be willing to listen. Number two is taking control of your body. Now you got the facts, what are you going to do with them? Abstaining from sex, that is 100% most reliable, effective way to not get a sexually transmitted infection. But if you choose to have sex, if you choose to do it anyway, using condoms, of course, but understanding that condoms don't protect against every sexually transmitted infection, particularly those that require skin-to-skin contact, mm-hmm. like herpes and HPV. Reduce your number of sex partners, mutual monogamy, meaning understanding that just me and you and no one else. Getting vaccinated. There, some of these infections you can be vaccinated against, like HPV, human papilloma virus, as well as hepatitis B.
The okay, that
is
virus,
knowing
virus
your,
is for that
yeah.
human papilloma. Isn't that
virus,
for teenagers?
Yeah. That is a sexually transmitted infection. Let me say my number three, though. The last one is getting tested. Please get tested. Important. Know your status. Human papilloma virus is a genital infection. Pretty much a lot of us have it already, but it's pretty benign. If you're having sex, you probably have had it, but it's benign. And it's a virus, so a body can kind of clear it on its own. Concerned about are the ones that are, there are certain types that could cause some cancers now. They found that certain HPV, human papillomavirus, types can cause cervical cancer in women, penile cancer, anal cancer, some head and neck cancers. And that's why the vaccine was created. And the vaccine is for younger before they start to be sexually active.
Right. It was supposed
starting
to be
age 11.
For prevention.
Yeah.
But
it
now you're telling me that it can, a teenager can incur all of these deadly diseases too. From having the virus.
Yes.
I mean, not the shot. Is that what you're saying? Did I hear it right?
No.
Okay.
What I said was HPV, we already know, is a sexually transmitted infection. It's a virus. That virus, HPV, can cause different types of HPV virus, can cause cervical cancer, penile, anal cancers, some throat cancers. They found a link. They found a link between HPV type 16, 18, I don't know, I think 6 and 11. Those types of HPV virus can cause cervical cancer in women, anal cancers, penile cancers.
So,
virus.
So
they developed a vaccine.
The inoculation is just supposed to keep that from happening, right?
The vaccine is to prevent you from contracting HPV. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I have a problem with that. I honestly do.
Oh, which part?
Giving teenagers shots like that because you don't know what it does to their bodies. and, you know, you don't know if their children, if they can have children, will come out, you know, with some type of illness or something like that. I, you know, that's just me with my issues against all these free shots.
Oh, against vaccinations? Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have an issue. Of course, I got my children vaccinated, but I heard now there are a lot of group of younger people who have children who are kind of questioning whether or not they should have their children vaccinated. But from what I understand, they get them as soon as they come out of the mother. They want to give them the shots right away.
The hepatitis B, yeah. So the thing about vaccines, I know there's different sides of the aisle, but one thing you can't dispute, vaccinations have gotten rid of a lot of diseases.
That I do know. That I do know.
Yeah, that we used to live with where we're killing a lot of
like
people.
Like polio, and I understand that.
And
I
the
do.
Black tongue, diphtheria, we don't see that anymore. Once upon a time, you didn't see measles. And now we're seeing it because it was pretty much gone. But we're seeing it now, of course, the people, we're avoiding vaccines, you know, for their personal reasons.
Right.
But it's one indisputable truth is that a lot of these childhood disorders, they were gone. Yeah, they were here.
And they
were vaccines.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But you know, way back then, you didn't have an issue with the pharmaceutical companies either. Nowadays, you can't get anything cured because they would lose their business. And that's real unfortunate. That's really unfortunate, I think, because they're putting money ahead of people's health. So... what do you think?
Yeah, I don't really delve into conspiracy theories much. But,
okay, well,
I do understand.
I'll do that for you.
There is a side. I know, that's okay. yeah,
I have all the conspiracy theories you want to know.
I hear them.
Especially when it comes to
every day.
The government.
I don't go to the clinic every day, but I do hear them a lot. And then social media and Dr. Google, you know, has a platform where we can share all that. So that's it.
Yeah. Okay, but, we're going to have another break, and then we'll come back.
Okay. We'll be right back after these messages.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show, and we've been talking about infections. And we've had a very good time. I learned a lot because I didn't know that the antibiotics were innovated in eggs, the ones for the flu shot, that I did not know. And, of course, with the sexual behaviors, that's pretty much, you know how to not do that. But anyway, we've had some very good information from Ms. Nurse Practitioner Coleman. And I'd like to say if you would like to make a comment or ask a question, you can do it now, or you don't have to. So I'm going to ask Ms. Coleman for her final thoughts right now.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing me to speak today. I really appreciate that, getting the word out about vaccines and flu prevention.
Excuse me. Can I interrupt you? I think you have another a question or a comment.
Oh.
Can you hold on?
Okay.
Hi, you're on with Ms. Coleman, who's a nurse practitioner. You have a question or like to make a comment?
Hi, hello, Jenny White. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. This was a really good show, very informative. I feel like I have learned so much during this show, so I want to appreciate Ms. Coleman for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. What's your comment?
Yeah. Just wanted to know, there's a little bit of, I think I've heard somewhere in the past that we all, I know you kind of referenced HPV, are there some sexually transmitted diseases that we all kind of just already have? And if so, you know, what do we do about that? I mean, I've kind of heard a rumor that we already have some sexually transmitted diseases.
I think she mentioned something like that early on. Am I right, Ms. Coleman?
You may be referring to herpes, like herpes simplex virus.
Okay.
Yes. Hello?
Ms. Coleman?
I'm so sorry. Can
Hello?
You hear me okay?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes,
I
do
so
now.
About that. Okay, I'm back. Technology, I tell you, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. You may be referring to genital herpes. Most people with genital herpes, they do not know that they have it. It's a common sexually transmitted disease, and it's not one that we particularly test for. When we do our panel, we generally only test for it if it's like a pregnant woman or if you actually have an outbreak. But they have found that a lot of us are carrying the infection already, but just not showing symptoms of it.
Can that infection be transmitted?
Really, if it's active, if you have active disease.
Okay.
Yeah, if you have active disease. Also, the biggest thing, caller, is the testing is not very reliable. There are a lot of false positives. So generally, if a patient comes in and they're no exposure, no nothing, and they're asking for a test for herpes, it probably won't happen because the tests, again, aren't very reliable. But if you are presenting with symptoms, then, of course, we'll do the swab and test you then.
That's real interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that breaking up a lot of happy homes, actually.
Well, let us hope not. Whatever's dormant, let's just let it stay dormant. We're not trying to break up any homes. We're just trying to give information.
That's it.
Has it, you know, if you have a rash or unusual vaginal bleeding, itchy genitals or anus blisters and sores around the genitals or the anus, you know, go see a doctor.
Painful urination, any discharge coming from your penis or your vagina, itching, sores, of course, yes, absolutely. Please go see your provider. I also want to, one of my final thoughts is I want to leave your callers with a website. It's called Get Tested, T-E-S-T-E-D,
www.cdc.gov. They give you a list of free, confidential, anonymous testing sites near you. And that's pretty much any area. So you just go to the website, enter your zip code, and they'll give you some testing sites where you can get tested for these different sexually transmitted infections. And a lot of them are anonymous, so they won't be reported.
Can you repeat that website again for my listeners, please?
The website is gettested, GETTESTED, .cdc.gov. A list of free confidential testing sites near you.
Oh, okay. Okay, so listeners, that's gettested.cdc.gov. If you have any problems or pain when you have to go urinate, you know, maybe you need to get tested. So I thank you, Mrs. Coleman, for being
thank
my
you.
Guest tonight. I really
thank you,
thought we had a great show. And my listeners, you know I always thank you for listening. And those of you that ask questions, I appreciate that. And those of you that just listened, called in and listened, I appreciate you as well. But before I go, this is what I'd like to leave with you. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. And that was from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and this is the first day of Black History Month. And I'd like to say enjoy your weekend and have a good night.